chain, breaking the chain, and escaping the city. I don't know if you watched a lot of television the last couple of weeks, but if you saw the activities and the disasters of Hurricane Sandy in the northeast corner of the United States, New York, New Jersey, all the way up to Connecticut, in northeast part of the U.S., houses destroyed, maybe you've seen pictures from Staten Island. Well, I have a little bit of connection with the New York area. Why? I have a family member, a large part of the family yet, is living in New Jersey, New York area. So when the storm came and took over the local part of New York, and we heard stories about broken power lines and people who left out the cold and people not able to buy gas or find food in the store, my heart went out to our guests. My family members, most of them are not ethnic. Actually, the most people in my family are evangelical or even Pentecostal Christians. We often talk with them when we are on the phone or when they come over to Holland or when I was in the States. We talk about the last day, the final event. That was the last day event. And I often have talked with my family about, should you live in the city? Well, until a couple of years ago, I was from the understanding that, well, I should stay in the city. And then when the Sunday law is being announced, starting in America and then later on worldwide, then the time was to leave the city. But I noticed from conversations when I had with several people, but also from the writings of Sister White, that the preparation for leaving the city should start not from the moment you hear that in America a Sunday law is being announced, but it should start now. I would like to go in for a prayer and we go on to our study. Dear Lord, we are so grateful that we can be in the castle. Again, Lord, you open up the word. Lord, will you help us to understand what your word says about not clinging to the things of the world. Lord, we pray that we might get more knowledge and more wisdom from your word so that we can be prepared for things that they come in this world. And also, Lord, that we can warn others and help us to understand that the only way of salvation, the only way of being saved, is clean towards you. Amen. Last time I was here, you could remember I was talking about the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. Who were there last time I was here?
One, two, three.
The last time I was here, I believe it was the end of the summer, I will help the presentation talk about the seven churches of Revelation. And I will tell you about seven steps how to grow your church in the time of the end.
Starting to ring a bell?
And I have explained that every church has a characteristic,
something that you can recognize a church with during
prophesying,
but there are also like seven steps that you have to have an assurance in your faith life. We were talking about you must stay focused on Christ, you must be encouraged in your faith life, you must be pure in the things you do, you must be holy, you must be having an awake faith life. You should be united with brothers and sisters in prayer and in coming together, and that way you can be on fire for Christ. Well, if you look at the disaster that we saw in New York recently, you tend to get a bit discouraged.
Some of us even tend to get our focus off Christ.
What happened with my family members in the United States really made me think the last couple of weeks. Because here I have family members who are always in the Word as well. They are always with the Bible, reading, praying. But when the disaster struck over Staten Island, and one of my nieces had to move because there was no power, no electricity, no food, no gas, then I noticed with her notification on Facebook and over the phone that her faith was trying, it was even slipping away from her. Not that she didn't believe anymore, but she was so in a hopeless situation, saying, how can I be saved? How can I survive? How do I know that the Lord will bring me through this trial I have right now? And every day she was without power, and every day that she couldn't go to the shop to eat, little by little, she got more about doubt about how the Lord will help her in the most difficult moment in her life. I would like to open you for you the scriptures, and I would like to go with you to the book of Revelation and the 18th chapter. Revelation 18. And most of you know this chapter about this chapter goes about the destruction of Babylon. And we see here in verse 4 of Revelation 18 that the angel again gives a very clear message to the people around the world, saying, come out of her, my people, that you may be partakers of her sins and not receive of her plagues. A clear warning to get away from the calamities that are going to befall the world. And of course, we, as Adventists, we know that. So that's why we left the worldly institutions and were drawing nigh towards Christ. But if you read in chapter 18 about what is going to happen with Babylon, something very particular is stated here. If you go to Revelation 18 verse 15, Babylon is being destroyed. Babylon stands for confusion about false institutions. Babylon stands for the place where people are bound to the things of the world. And we see here in verse 15, the riches of these things, which were made rich of her, about the things they have, shall stand afar off of the fear of her torment, what's happening with Babylon, weeping and wailing. People are crying because what they saw is Babylon is being destroyed. And that made me wonder, also with the thing that's happening in New York lately, made me wonder if everything we hold dear in this world is being destroyed. Are we the same as those merchants? Are we the same as those kings mentioned in chapter 18 and crying and wailing and what about what is being taken away from us? And then you should demand yourself, what should we go around with this? How should we deal with these matters in our lives right now? How do we get disconnected from the things in the world that look nice, looks great even, wonderful, beautiful? Who of us can be without something? Bad figure. Yes, it was.
No.
Two.
Three.
Wonderful. Because four. This. If you take a good look at yourself, that is the same thing for myself. I'm getting pretty acquainted to the people of this world. If there was no supermarket, and there was not a microwave dish to be found, I would have a hard time of getting by. Because I'm a busy life. And if you have a busy life, then your food would be prepared in the shortest time possible. You go to the shop, you get your food, you put it in the microwave, bing, and you take it. Wonderful, is it? It's the beauty of the world, it's the beauty of this world, is that our food can be prepared instantly. And there are more and more things that are getting us acquainted and getting used to the things of the world. And it's not that we want it for the moment. We're getting used to it. And the thing is, for us, we should understand how we can be slowly and gradually be loosed from that grip that the world has on us. Elma, for a couple of times, has been here and has been talking about temperance, about sunlight, about having the proper food to eat. Did you notice that all the elements of the new start, the nutrition and the walking and exercise, sunlight and moderation and trusting God, that it all has to do with not being connected to the things the world offers? The world says, stay inside and play with your Nintendo. The Lord says, go outside, enjoy creation, and walk in the sun. What will happen if suddenly your Nintendo, your television, your message from this is taken away from you?
Crisis.
And the same thing is happening right now in New York, where there is now so much snow. Almost all the snow that can fall in November and in December is now falling in the New York area. People are complaining of cold. Actually, it's so worse right now in New York that because the power is taken off, the automatic teller machine, the ATM, didn't work. So you are coming with your pet, but you cannot buy anything because there's no electricity. And if there's no electricity, you cannot get money through a car machine. And if there's no money on the television, you cannot buy your microwave dish. And I listen to the radio for people who are living in the States and people who left New York before the storm came. People who didn't leave to New Jersey or to some smaller city, but to little towns, little villages, the countryside. And those people said, we had a difficult time, but not as worse as the people in New York are living right now. Because the people had fresh food, which we could eat. The people didn't have to depend on their television or on their microwave dishes. They could survive, surviving outside of the cities. And the question for us right now is, what is the best time to leave? What is the best time to stay? And how should we do with those problems? If you read the Bible, and if we go to the Bible book of Genesis, we'll see something remarkable about how the Lord is dealing with the cities of the earth. I would like to go with you to Genesis, the fourth chapter. Genesis chapter 4. And we know about Adam and Eve, the first human beings who walked this earth, created in the image of our Lord. And we all know about Eve and Adam not listening to the words of the Lord and
came before of the earth, and then later on, the children of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and how he was slain by Cain. And if you read in verse 15, Genesis 4, verse 15, we read as the Lord said unto them, therefore who stopped Cain, because Cain killed Abel, and Cain received a mark that nobody would kill him. Verse 15, said Cain, vengeance shall be taken from him, sevenfold, and the Lord took a mark upon Cain, lest any find him should kill him. And what did Cain do? Well, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Very important sentence. Cain went out of the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Enoch, and he built a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Cain went out of the presence of the Lord and went on to build the first city. Can somebody tell me what happened with the first cities of the world in Genesis 6? What happened with the first cities of the world? What did the Lord say about those first cities?
What is Genesis 6?
Somebody preached a very long time against the people who are living in the city. Noah, right. Noah was preaching against the people who were living in those cities. And what did the Lord say about the characteristics of the people living in the city? Evil continually.
Wicked.
What did the Lord do eventually with those people living in those cities?
Is destroyed with water?
So, we see that the first cities were full of iniquity, full of disaster, full of bad things, and people didn't listen to the words of Noah bringing a message of hope. The same thing as he had to bring a message of hope to people living on the countryside, but also in the cities, because starting from around the 17th, 18th century, through the Industrial Revolution, a large force of people around the world moved from the towns and the villages and from country life and went forth to the cities. What was the first thing the people did after the flood? Can somebody tell me that? What happened after the flood?
The Tower of Babel.
And we read that in Genesis 11. And maybe you noticed it, or maybe you didn't notice it, but it says something peculiar about about Babylon. It was the first yes, in 11 chapter 11 verse 1, and the whole earth was one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there, and they built bricks. And in verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men build. What did the children of men do? Build another city and a tower to be saved from the things that the Lord was about to do if they would again transgress in their faith life. They built another city. It's it's very clear to see that the first city for the flood and the first city after the flood, that it all has to do with confusion and rebellion against the law and the will of God. Cities are portrayed in the Bible as a place of increasing confusion. If you look at the life of Jesus, you notice that Jesus, especially in the years before his ministry work, when he lived in Nazareth, lived in the outskirts. Ellen White wrote that there, in the outskirts, outside of the city, he was close to nature. See the wonders of his Father, the creation around him. He didn't live in the city. But we, well, right now we don't have a lot of stomach of riding a long time in public transport or in our cars to get to work. We tend to live close by where we live and where we work, and tend to work best by on that way. And of course, it's a good thing to live close by to where you have. But something is happening with the city, and that may or may not confuse us. We are getting used and acquainted with the ease of life that we can find here. We all know the story of Lot, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. When Lot could choose between the land where he could let Lot stay, Abraham said, well, look around. If you go left, I go right. And if you go right, I go left. What did Lot do? Lot looked around. And he looked at the plains around Sodom and Gomorrah. Wonderful territory. Beautiful. Yes, there I can stay. There I can deal and have more money, more richness. And he was so blinded by the beauty of Sodom, so blinded by what was happening right there, that he couldn't see what and how the people were in Sodom. If you go to Genesis 13, verse 13, what this Lot didn't see about the people in Sodom in Genesis 13:13. If you read the verse, what do you see? They're wicked. The same kind of wickedness we saw when the first city before the flood and the first city after the flood, the same wickedness was there in Genesis 13, 7. Well, if we see that there is wickedness, but Lot didn't see that there was wickedness, then there was something wrong with the eyesight of Lot. He was blinded. Where else in the Bible we can see a passage about blindness? Could you help me? Passages in the Bible about being blind, or being fooled, or being confused.
Revelation,
don't stay there.
Yes. Matthew is one.
But I want to point out to Laodicea. The letter to the church. What was said about the eyesight of the people in the day of Laodicea?
Blind,
poor, naked. And what did the church of Laodicea, or in other words, the people living in this age, need to receive from Jesus? I spoke.
And the light that they know, that they know the truth.
So if Lot had I saw a Lot knew that what was in the city was dead, would he have to go to Sodom?
Lot knew the stories of his father and of his uncle Abraham. He knew them. He knew about how Abraham was called out of the land of Ur all the way to the promised land. Just as we, as Exodus, are called out of the world to the promised new heaven and new earth.
Lot didn't have any idol. Well, we, due to circumstances, live in the city. And you might say, well, brother Ryan, are you not holding a speech about that we should go to the countryside and have a farm and have some cows and a dog and a cat and goldfishes and go to start to live off the good of the land?
No.
Because the Council of Sector Wise also says that we should work in the city and live in the countryside. Some people, and I know them, I know a family who is living in Norway, and they have taken the task of leaving and escaping the city very literally. What this man did, and he's the father, he's the father-in-law of an evangelist friend of mine living in Norway, and when you enter his house,
if he enters his house is on the top of a mountain, and there is no city or no village around it. He is on top of the mountain, and in the shelter of his house, he has food to survive during the winter, or when the tribulation may come. And he said to me, right, soon there will be a time he's going to buy himself. So I'm putting all the stuff in the freezer, and I'm safe when the time of tribulation comes. What happened? This person has his food prepared, his house prepared, but he's not going to the city to warn the people. You cannot say to yourself, I'm safe by myself, and I forget to warn the people.
And you write your councils, and you can read a lot of those in the compilation booklet, Last Day Events, has given us counsel that we should work in the city, and if it was possible, live in the countryside.
Go to the countryside, go to the city, preach, work, evangelize, on the end of the day, get out.
Some of us are not able to get in and get out of the city. And if you might give another counsel, and that is that we should, even if it is not possible right now, prepare yourself for living outside.
Well, that is the story of Lot. You know Lot went to Sodom and had a great time. His family, his brother, and they get acquainted with the lifestyle of the city. What was the Bible in the story? My heart went out toward them. My family members, most of them are not ethnic. Actually, the most people in my family are evangelical or even Pentecostal Christians. We often talk with them when we are on the phone or when they come over to Holland or when I was in the States. We talk about the last day, the final event. That's where the last day event. And I often have talked with my family about should you live in the city? Well, until a couple of years ago, I was from the understanding that, well, I should stay in the city, and then when the Sunday law is being announced, starting in America, and then later on worldwide, then this time was to leave the city. But I noticed from conversations when I have with several people, but also from the writings of Sister White, that the preparation for leaving the city should start not from the moment you hear that the America on Sunday law is being announced, but it should start now. I would like to go for a prayer and
actually several times we can the most different cities.
And look, no, you are not right, I won't pray cities. Still the Lord sent angels to the whole flock to warn him to get out of the world. What was the first impression of love? What did he say? Yes, I will believe.
No.
How did he react?
Sad.
Yes. He was sad. He was fine. I would see my old time and my yellow, and I would see my driveway fit. I would see the farm stand. I had to leave this old behind to go where? Sometimes we are so connected to the things of the earth that when we hear, even we as Christians, if we hear an important message of leaving, then we are keen to stay. Not because we want to stay, but because we got acquainted and adjusted to the things that we got acquainted and adjusted to.
The Lord was warning Lot. And Lot was receiving in a very particular way from Aesop. And this is actually the same kind of old Aesop I again got a couple of weeks ago when the storm Sandy rushed over the northeastern part of the United States.
You all know the story that the people in Sodom wanted to take those two men, those two angels, and have an intimate relationship with them. And Lot saw at that moment in time again how wicked the people were of Sodom. For me, when New York was facing, when I saw the destruction, what could happen when the winds and the waves rush through your street, and then they destroy everything you have. Then my eyes saw it again, applied to my eyes as, right, I must be not getting used to all those things that the shop gave me. I'm getting used to the things that the Lord can give me from living off the land. Mm-hmm. Not so in that moment of time. If those men are really that bad, those people tell them. So, you know, I will warn my family. I will warn my son-in-law. I will warn them for the truth. And, well, I look at the Sandy and the storm. And I was thinking about my family. I was thinking about the fact that they have a totally different view about last day events than what I got from reading the Word of God. They were convinced from Scripture that America would be saved until the day that Jesus returns. They believe that only Europe where there is difficulty and persecution among the people in the cities of the world, and that America was sent as a lightning beacon in the sky. And I could remember the conversation we talked about with my family, and said, but listen, and Scripture and Revelation 13 and the beast of the earth and sea and speaks like a lamb but it's actually a dragon. Read about something, Lord, read about what's going to happen. And they were laughing at me.
And when the storm Sandy hit over New York, it popped into my mind, oh my. And I'm seeing my sweet niece, lovely mother of two children, crying her heart out on Facebook and saying, I cannot bring my children to school because school has no power. I cannot fill the gas tank of my car because I don't have the money to take out of the bank. At the time when you have to leave something which you are clinging to the things of the world, it's hard to leave. It's hard for people sometimes to understand that the message we need to bring them to get broken from the world and start to escape towards the city to put it in full view.
Well, Lot, we all know, he tried. And they will leave those sons-in-laws. So Lot, as we know the story, went and looked at his own family. And the angel said again, leave this place. And then I'm thinking about myself. Lord, where should I go? I've got my house. I've got my mortgage. What should I do? Where should I go? Will I be safe? And then I received these words of Sister White in Revelation, in a review of Herald of 30 November 1910. Right now, the three angels' message, where I also spoke about this morning, should be preached, not only in the countries and cities far away, but also in the places where there is no attention given, close by home. Because in the cities, there are people who are not yet warned and not yet saved. In our cities, everywhere, they need a work, a fervent work, by the servants of our Lord. We need to tell people the truth, even if they won't listen, even if they don't find it interesting to listen to our stories and our words that we have seen in Scripture. Sometimes it's hard when you see calamities all around the world. Okay? Breaking the chains and escaping the city. I don't know if you watched a lot of television in the last couple of weeks, but if you saw the activities and the disaster of Hurricane Sandy in the northeast corner of the United States. New York, New Jersey, all the way up to Connecticut, in the northeast part of the U.S. Houses destroyed, maybe you've seen pictures from Staten Island. Well, I have a little bit of connection with the New York area. Why? I've got family members, a large part of the family there, is living in New Jersey, New York area. So when the storm came and took over the most part of New York, and we heard stories about broken power lines and people who left out of the cold and people who not able to buy gas or find food in stores, my heart went out toward them. My family members, most of them are not ethnic. Actually, the most people in my family are evangelical or even Pentecostal Christians. We often talk with them when we are on the phone or when they come up.
and connected to the city. In one kind of sense, in all ways I am connected to the city. Maybe for a union. You need to listen to. Don't you know that when you listen to a tune, especially from a pop song, that it sticks to your mind and it's very hard to get out? That is, when it's pumped in your mind, and you hear a song, and then you're going to grab your Bible, because you get it to the head, and you read scripture, and you finish reading scripture, and say amen, and that song goes back in your mind, and it sticks there, and it stays there, and it's hard to get shaken off. At the moment in time that we hardly realize, we come to the acknowledgement that we are more bound to the world than we actually want to be bound by the world. One day without television won't hurt us a bit. 2 days without television we can survive. But then you meet for the third day on your job somebody says, well, I feel this is in television. I didn't see it. And the next day on your job, someone says, you saw that on TV, it was wonderful. Or did you see on the computer? Could you imagine a life where you couldn't convert with the college or with your classmates because you didn't saw a thing on TV? People, when they come into calamity, and I noticed that with the work of my niece in America, she didn't miss TV a bit. She never thought about TV, never. But when she was in disaster, when there was no power in her home, when she had to move to a relative in another city, she missed the TV. Something she never missed in her life, she missed. Something she never cared about because it's only garbage on TV, she missed. Why? Because she came to the realization that she was more connected to the world than she even hold herself for possible. How much are we connected to the world?
And it's something that we need to think about for ourselves. And mostly in this time of crisis, in time of problems, we come to the realization that we are more connected to the things of the world than we actually hold ourselves credit to. And sometimes we need little crisis
and saving the city. I don't know if you watched a lot of television the last couple of weeks, but did you saw the activities that the disaster of Hurricane Sandy in the northeast corner of the United States? New York, New Jersey, all the way up to Connecticut, in the northeast part of the U.S. Houses destroyed, maybe you've seen pictures from Staten Island. Well, I have a little bit of connection with the New York area. Why? I have a family member, a large part of the family there, is living in New Jersey, New York area. So when the storm came and took over the most part of New York, and we heard stories about broken power lines and people left out of the cold and people that not able to buy gas or find food in the store, my heart went out toward them. My family member, most of them are not ethnic. Actually, the most people in my family are evangelical or even Pentecostal Christians. We often talk with them when we are on the phone or when they come over to home or when I was in the States. We talk. When a house catches fire and the pictures of your loved ones and those memories are destroyed, you feel sad because it's a part of your life, it's part of your memory.
But the question you have to ask yourself is, are you looking for the love of God so great and so wonderful and so bountiful that the thing of the world that it will dim into our own eyes? Sometimes we need hard lessons.
Hard lessons we all need to realize to see that the things of the world are for less important. Because when Lot eventually left the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, we all know that his wife looked back. We all saw that his wife was clinged to the city, was clinged to the things of the world, was still bounded by the people. She wouldn't flee, was bounded by the world.
Is my microwave dish holding me back from the greatest escape ever to be seen in the history of man? Right now, when there is no community hope, it all kind of looks a bit trivial. Oh, I know what you're talking about. There's no disaster. There's no waves going into the desert. There's no earthquake or whatever. He has a very deep and very surprising variation in heaven. But if you see it, life in New York, the almost indestructible city, and if you see people dealing with those difficulties, you start to think, what if it happens with me? Can I stay and stay from the things of the world? Because the wife of God, he surely couldn't. On one way or another, she was bound, enclosed, captured by the world.
So, how we should deal as in people living in the end of time, that we shouldn't be bound to the things of this earth. What we should learn in our life is that we shouldn't be two-sided. We should choose a side in our life. We should choose Christ and His righteousness and not the way and the thoughts of this world. But how do you do that? Very carefully, not being on two sides in your life. How can you look forward to that that Christ has to offer us each and every day, and not being dependent on what the earth wants to give us? Sometimes we need to have a hard lesson. And a hard lesson starts with changing our attitudes in life right now. Changing our attitudes when it comes to how we spend our free time. What kind of decisions we make with work, and what kind of decisions we make about the things we listen to, the things we eat. Because we might say, well, I'm only eating healthful for my own benefit, but the way, if you look at the reason why we also live very healthy, is that we are not being connected, as it were, to the whole medical system that we have on this planet right now. If we live healthy, we don't get sick or very bad sick, so we know we don't have to go to the hospital, so we don't have to swallow medicines that eat more weight up than build us up, and we get caught up by the system of the world. And a lot of people these days, whether they like it or not, are being caught up by the things of the world because they eat the things of the world so they get sick. So they go to the hospital so they get medicine, and even more can get in the sick circle. They are being, without realizing, getting chased through the world.
The example that Sister White gave us, and this is what I noticed in my own personal study, she gave it for us not only to be steadfast and healthy, but also survive when the going gets tough. If you are not tricked by the things of the world, then when Jesus comes, you can easily let go. Because the wife of God, she wants to see you. When you look back, she found the riches of the world more important than the things that Jesus could offer.
And the same thing goes also for us. How do we look at things that Christ wants to offer us eventually? Do we really want to accept the things that Christ wants to give us? If we don't want to be bound to the sinful world, then we need to let go all of the desires of things of a temporary nature, let go. If we don't want to get beguiled by the trap of Satan, we must do the following. It was noted in the Sabbath school class this morning where I was in. We should resist the devil and he will flee from us. We shouldn't only read the word, we should live by the word. As we shall just now see in our talk about the week of prayer. It's a time that we right now should pray more heartily and more diligently that we are right with God. That we are willing to break with all those things of the world. In the Our Father, we have been taught how important it is to pray and to lay down everything we have to our Lord and Father in heaven. As we have seen in the last week of prayer, we have seen how important prayer is to direct our attention not to the things we see, but to the unseen one who sustains us. We must be absolutely 100% sure, not only by speaking our mouth, but be sure of our heart and our mind that the Lord is the one who can get us through all difficulties. Yesterday, the power to the house of my niece in New York was restored. Almost 2 weeks without power. Almost 2 weeks without the earthly force how to be safe in this world. The only thing that has to save us in this world. But you notice that through prayer, to direct your attention towards the Lord, you can stay safe, even though you have difficulty. As we just now, standing still by the theme of our week of prayer, when we talk about and discuss the need we have to go forth to the Lord in prayer, let us remember that we should also ask the Lord not only to grab his hand, but also let our hand of the world get looser and looser and looser. We must trust and know that Jesus can save and protect us. We must know that if you are a friend of this world, then by God you will be seen as an enemy. The last thing we want as Christians is to be seen by God as an enemy. Because with our mouths we say that we love him and we care for him, but with our deeds we have a difficulty of letting go of the things of this world. And then you might ask us, right, when should I leave the city? Well, in this writings of Cicero writes, there is one main reason given to leave the cities, and this is when the Sunday law is being announced, starting in the United States. And then it's the time to leave the big cities, to go to the smaller ones, and to lead a life secluded from the masses. Because if we stay there where the confusion reigns, we might get confused ourselves. Because what manner it has, if we might save the world, but lose our own soul. We need to stick close to Christ. We need to stick close to Scripture. We need to, in every area possible, see where the confusion of Babylon beguiled us. And ask the Lord in prayer, Lord, please help me let go of the things of the world. Help me break the chains that bind me, and help me to escape the city. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are grateful that we have seen in your word that you want us to sustain us. We are so glad, Lord, that you have shown us that we can get close to your law and your love if we got our attention seen towards you. Lord, this world has so many nice and wonderful things to offer, but it cannot offer us real freedom in Christ. Lord, if we know the Son, we shall be free indeed. So we ask you, Lord, help us. Help us in every area of our life imaginable to let go and grab hold of you. Lord, things in our life may seem wonderful, may seem fantastic, but Lord, put eyesight over our eyes so we might really see the condition we are in right now. And Lord, if there are any areas in our lives that keeps us grounded, keeps us bound to the sinful world, Lord, help us to cut those ties. Lord, help us to pray more fervently, as we did in the Pentecostal of prayer, more fervently to see your will of in our lives. And Lord, may our will may be that we will accept your will of our lives fully, completely, trustworthy. Lord, be with us. Strengthen us. So we pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Amen.